I'd like to give a couple moments to Andy to release a little bit of a testimony for you. So, Andy, go for it.
Can I do it from my seat?
You can do it from your seat. We'll forgive you. How's that?
I was talking to some people, Peggy and Gail, some others that were listening on Tuesday about my new job. And Kim kind of asked me to speak on everything that's been going on today within like these past months and change. I was working at Best Buy, and actually Kim came to me one day. He was like, if you're looking for a job, you know, Vitamin World is the guy's looking for help. And I'm like, I don't do vitamins. And I'm like, that's not a job for me. But I went and I applied anyways, and he was like, oh yeah, we'll do it, and then just thing kept procrastinating. I was like, oh well, I'm not gonna get the job then. Then one morning when I got out of work where I was at, I was on my way home to get changed and go looking for a job at a warehouse that I heard of. And as I'm getting dressed, my uncle goes, such and such place called, and I'm like, Vitamin World called. It's been weeks since I've heard from them. And I called him up. He's like, yeah, basically, I'm giving you the job. And I'm just like, oh. Okay. But it was so easy to get discouraged right away when things worked out so good and you thought you had it in the bag and then it wasn't there. And I went through a time like, oh, I want to get my own car. I want to get a good job. I don't want to work these weird hours anymore. And until finally when you give it up and you're just like, all right, never mind. I'm just going to have to let it go. And pretty much let go, let God. And then when it's at His timing, you realize how great it is. I probably would have been struggling a lot more than what I needed to and probably what I wanted to at Vitamin World if I had done it on my time. But by waiting what took like about forever, maybe a month or two, I wasn't keeping track. It turned out to be a great experience so far. I love what I do. I love the team that I work with. And it's so much better when God's behind it all. A week after, I got blessed with a car. It was a family member of mine who had purchased another one, and he was like, here, just finish the last four payments on this car. It's a Cadillac. Oh. My cousin, he was like, look, you know, I don't know how much longer this car is going to last because I did this to it and I did that to it. You know, basically, he didn't take care of it. But he doesn't know that car is going to last me a few years. But I guess just like when God's behind it all, everything has come so easy, you know. When you work in a vitamin and nutrition store and there's about 2,000 little bottles and you need to know everything about them, I'm just like, I can't do it. And I couldn't, but God's been able to, you know, help me out through everything and starting all the products. And to this day, you know, I haven't had any complaints.
Are you taking vitamins?
I changed. But it's definitely been great. And so many doors opened up.
And didn't you pass your test last week?
Yeah, there's been a test that they give for you to get certified. It's just like a general test of like different products that they ask you. I passed that test. And then I know our regional manager came to the store, which was a big thing, especially because they've gone through so many managers within the past like 6 to 8 months. The store hasn't had a good foundation yet. And it's kind of been, you know, up in the air whether we were going to stay open or closed. And in fact, the only issue they had was they didn't like the boxes on the top, and that was it. So our store passed with flying colors, especially for having like one of the smallest stores in the area compared to like one in Enfield. We're making like three times as much money as they are.
So, thank you.
Great reviews.
Praise God.
Give the Lord a clap. Yes. Isn't that awesome to see the hand of the Lord? He does such a marvelous work. Before we go to the Word, I'd like to thank you for interceding for me, and those of you who probably didn't feel like praying for me did anyway. Thank you. And we ended up having a little bit of quality time with some of the family, which normally I don't get a chance to do. But God allowed some time with my brother and my sister. We went out to dinner with them, and Mom came with us, and we had some marvelous laughter, and it was just very sweet. And spent some time with my mother's sister and slept over a couple nights, and it was just, you know, no rush. It was sweet. And so, can we bow our heads? Because we need to go to the Word a little bit. Amen? Father, I believe tonight that you can anoint these words and bring life. Let there be ears to hear. Let your Holy Spirit carry them inside the hearts of my brothers and sisters, that they may come to the fullness of understanding of what you want, the way you want it done, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The word I heard this afternoon as I was interceding and praying was, children of the light. My first reaction, my God, Lord, what are you trying to do? Make me go backwards? That was the name of the prayer group that I was connected to for 13 years at St. Anne's Church. It was called Children of the Light. So I pondered for a while. I wrote it down, began to pray, and I kept hearing, am I not the author of light? And I said, yes, Lord. And if there is light progressing from that bulb, how can darkness stick around? Yeah, can't. You sure? Put a flashlight in the box, turn it on, what happens? You haven't got a box of darkness anymore, you got a
light.
And if there's holes in the box and it's in a dark room, you're going to see what coming through the box. Mm-hmm. If you're full of light and you walk into a dark place, what's going to happen?
Shine.
Huh?
Shine. You'll irritate the bugs. You're going to irritate the bugs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you ever lift up a rock and let the sun shine in? And you see these... Uh-huh. Okay. Reflected from the believer, producing and protruding from the believer is light. Do you ever walk around in a place and you just know that somebody's peering right through you or poking stuff at you? Put your hand up if you know what I'm talking about. If you've tasted it, and look around. When you become sensitive to the Spirit, you're going to wonder how come that this is happening to you unless you have an awareness that you're irritating the bugs and they're throwing darts at you. You're going to wonder if you're sane. Okay? Now, how do you go from being a bug irritation to a bug zapper? Watch. Just keep looking at the light. And as it gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, how many bugs are going to sit on the bulb?
None.
Because the heat's turned up. God showed me that years ago. But now I want you to get to a few of the words that I pray will help you. Judges 5:31. It's the Old Testament. It talks about your enemies and how they're going to perish. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may they who love you be like the sun, S-U-N, when it rises in its strength. Then the land had peace. Would you believe 40 years? How would you like 40 years of peace in your home? Turn the lights on. Turn the power up. Become a bug zapper. What will you do to your neighborhood when the light's on in your house and all the others are in darkness? Yeah, it's going to create problems. But I guarantee you, when the light gets to a certain level, it repels them. They can't stand it. Isaiah 60, verse 3. Isaiah 60, verse 3. This is not just an individual now. This is for nations. When nations begin to radiate light because of the multiplicities of little lights that are all together. Now, I've taken those little tiny Christmas tree lights and you put one or two on a whole Christmas tree and you got what? Blah. But if you put quite a few strings and a few thousand of those lights on the same tree, what happens to the tree?
Bright.
Yeah. It's going to show up and it's going to be attractive. And it's going to repel what? The bugs. Nations will come to your light and kings to your to the brightness of your dawn. And it's confirmed in chapter 62, verse 1. So, you see, many, many things happen when you realize that you have the light within you. And we'll confirm that in a moment. Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Aha! Can you hide your Christmas tree after it's got about a couple thousand lights on it? And all of them are turned on. Even if your whole house is dark, it'll light up your living room. It'll spread over into your hallway. And it might even light up a part of the kitchen or dining room. Amen? You can have a little tiny party with little tiny lights. How would you like a vision of New England with about 300 billion little lights? New England would sparkle over all the rest of the U.S. Wouldn't it be sweet? What are you waiting for? Turn up the light. Turn up the light. Acts 13, verse 47. Now this is an awareness of what Jesus told the disciples. This is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that's the unbelievers, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. You mean my neighborhood too? Yep. My school? Yes. Our mall? Yes. I was told that there was shooting in some kind of a mall today. I didn't get to listen to the news. Where was the shooting?
Yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but I wasn't around yesterday. Yeah, well, do you think there was a reality that maybe not quite enough light in the mall?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where it is, but it's not important. I think the message is the same, okay? Ephesians 5:8. This is going to be hitting home now. Ephesians 5:8. For I was once darkness, but now I am light in the Lord. Live as children of light. I personalized it. If you personalize it for yourself, it'll give you an understanding. I was once darkness, but now I am the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. live as. In other words, be aware of what's in you. Turn up the volume. Turn up the power. How do you turn up the power? By releasing your spirit, by praying, by taking quiet time, by being quiet before the Lord, and maybe get out of the other things that pull you down. And intercession. You know, a lot of times we don't realize the power and the intensity of what's in us. And it's because we don't use the faculties of or the gifts that have been given to us. The next one is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Peggy, I know you probably have the Amplified. Could you kind of give us the Amplified on that? Because I have a nudge.
Okay, 215.
Yep.
That you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world.
The last part one more time.
Among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world.
Ah. What kind of neighborhood would yours and mine be if the light got turned up 1,000 degrees? What would happen to the city of Chicopee if every light was turned on full capacity? I'm not talking about the light bulb in your house. I'm talking about yours. I'm talking about the light that's inside of you. I'm talking about the light that should be radiating out of each of us, bringing life to those that need it. If you want to go to Isaiah chapter 9, we'll look at the prophetic word about the light. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land and the shadow of death, a light has dawned." John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Is he inside of me? Is he inside of you? Absolutely. So therefore, his light can be turned up by me doing my Holy Ghost stuff. Amen? John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of life. And when you realize this, you say, "Oh my God, he's alive inside of me." John 12:35. Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer." Why? Because he was going to be crucified. "Walk while you have the light, before the darkness overtakes you." What happened when darkness overtook them? They denied him and they ran home with their tails between their legs. Amen? Okay. "The man who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going." But if I put the light on, I know where I'm going. Ephesians 5:14. Ephesians 5:14. That's kind of special, so you might put a little circle around that one. For it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on the neighbors through you. Kind of neat, huh? Now that's my version. It says Christ will shine on you, but once he's shining through you, it goes one step higher. Revelations 21:23. That's the last one I'm going to give you. The city, Revelations 21:23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The glory of God gives its light. The glory of God gives the whole city. What is the city? It's really the church. So it's really saying that one space is going to happen. The bride of Christ is going to be so adorned with light from within the interior, she will attract an awful lot of attention. Amen? And we need to go together in order for that light to work. May I ask the professional lady back there, when you buy light bulbs to decorate Christmas trees, do you buy them individually, one at a time? Or do you buy them in groupings and then reconnect them group to group to group? And that, oh, you're professionals too, huh? And if there's not enough lights, you go and get a few more sets. There's a day coming when there's going to be all these churches reconnecting one to the other. Okay? And they're going to make an awesome decoration in downtown Chicopee and downtown Springfield and downtown Holyoke. Why am I saying downtown? Because that's where a lot of darkness is. Got it? So don't be afraid of the future. Don't misunderstand God's plan. He is plugging you in to each other. You're not going to go too far with one little light. But when I connect, what happens? Now you got two. Now you got three. 4, 5, 7, 10, 20, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000. Okay? The Lord showed me one time through a word that had come was, keep your eye on the snow. Huh? Keep your eye on the snow. So I'm standing in my window, and it's just starting to snow. First snow. Okay? I don't know what month it was, but it was the first time we went in snow. And I'm watching the snowflakes land. And what do? Pluck, and they disappear. Pluck, they disappear. And then the next one comes, and the next one comes, and about an hour later, it's made the grass kind of cold. And then you see a few little patches here and there. That's Christians. That's what he was teaching me. And all of a sudden there's an avalanche and the wind just keeps blowing this stuff in. And the next thing you know, you've got 6, 7, 8, 100, 1,000,000,000 of them. And you've got 6, 7 inches of snow. And you can't see the grass anymore. That's what's happening. Be expecting an explosion of believers. An explosion of light. The word was given for the church through the same man who saw the angels. And I know the angels were confirmed, so the man came and said, there's another wave. And he didn't know about the water. And so, get ready. If you're not ready to give out, do you think God's going to bring people in? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I had a marvelous conversation with a young man today, just for a few moments. And one of his comments is, it's your job. And I said, wait a minute. My job? I may be a person who has a job, but how many know what I'm supposed to birth in the body of Christ? What am I supposed to bring to life in the body of Christ?
The fivefold ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are the sheep supposed to bring? Really? How can a shepherd have sheep? It's not the shepherd that has sheep. It's the mama sheeps that have baby sheeps. Amen? And the shepherd's supposed to have baby shepherds. I got a few. Oh yeah, I do. And more to come. Okay? God gave me some prophetic words, and I know I have some prophets under construction. I have some evangelists under construction. I know that. I'm absolutely convinced of it. I have some teachers that are starting to blossom. Yeah. Oh yeah, it could be you. But I guarantee you this, there's no way I can have a baby sheep. That's not my job anymore. You can. Put your hand on your belly. Say, Lord Jesus, give me a womb to carry the baby sheep. Because I'm part of the sheep. Under the head shepherd. Jesus Christ. And it's okay for me to be pregnant. Even if you're a male, you can be pregnant. And carry baby sheep. So give me something to pray for. And give me something to talk to. And when it's right, they'll come to the house. And they will be blessed. Amen? And amen. How about that? Any additions? Father, I believe this word was yours. Now it's theirs. Let it go forth from here, that it will bless many. Because yes, Lord, the only way that we're going to go forward is by being obedient to the things you've called us to be and to do. In Jesus' name we pray.